is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive, in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now, your host. This is Jason Allen, and this is Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney.
What does God's purpose for marriage have in common with a car? Suppose someone were to ask you to compare your marriage to a car. Would you say it's like a Corvette zooming down the interstate, firing on all cylinders? Or would you say it's a clunker that's broken down with four popped tires and a blown engine under the hood? If your marriage could be compared to the car that's broken down on the side of the road, perhaps it's because you've lost sight of God's purpose for marriage. Today on Thrive with Brad Bigney, you'll hear how understanding God's purpose for marriage can help your marriage to thrive. I'm Jason Allen, and hey, you're Brad Bigney.
Yes, I get to be Brad all day. It's good to be with you, Jason.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Brad. Brad, you've been pastoring and counseling for decades. I would guess that you've counseled many people throughout the years who either want to get married or having issues in their marriage. You know, we can all come up with our personal purpose for marriage. So, Brad, have you had to regularly remind the people that you shepherd about God's purpose for marriage?
Oh, yes. But even as a pastor, I didn't realize the need to do so until quite some time into it. I was guilty of doing what the people themselves do, just assuming what I had in mind is what God had in mind. You know, it almost seemed like, who needs to talk about the purpose of marriage? Of course, we know that. But when you actually poke and say, tell me what you think it is, you'd be surprised how it doesn't sound like what the Bible sounds like. And so often Christians are taking their information or being more informed by the culture than by Bible. So no one ever comes to me, just like I've never had someone say on the paperwork, help me with my pride. It's crushing me at work. It's ruining. Nobody sees their own pride. Nobody says, help me with the purpose of marriage. They have a purpose in mind, and it keeps not quite working out. And so they want you to help them strategize better to get what they're trying to get. And they never assume what they're trying to get is wrong. They just think, hey, here's what's going on, help. And so if you're not careful, you can just jump in. And there's a place for all this with communication and conflict and finances, and clarifying roles and in-laws and sexual intimacy. And God's word speaks to all of that, and it needs to be addressed. But my goodness, we've got to tap the brakes. And that's what I do now. I tap the brakes and I back it up a little bit, and I take time to clarify the purpose. Because I'll say to them, I don't want you to be frustrated with me in this counseling, because I have a goal to help you please God in this marriage. I'm not going to take sides. There's not going to be a winner and a loser. I am for the Smiths. But if we're going to see any traction, we better understand right from the beginning, but what's the purpose of marriage? So yeah, I do, but nobody asked for it. And I actually haven't had anybody say thank you yet. Hey, thanks for that.
Brad, we're beginning a series on God's purpose for marriage here on Thrive. And we're doing it because you're convinced living according to God's purpose for marriage is the key to a thriving marriage. So here's the million-dollar question. How can living according to God's purpose for marriage make our marriages better?
Yeah. I think just like in any field or in any endeavor, whether it's sports, you've got to think how often they revisit the basics. It doesn't seem jazzy and it's not as exciting. But if you want a marriage to go from survive, we've got even Christians with ball caps, fish ball caps and fish bumper stickers, listening to nothing but Christian music. But if they were honest, they would look at each other and say, our marriage is barely surviving. I would give it a C+. maybe a B minus. But if you want to go from survive to thrive, you've got to understand the purpose. Think about how often you can be disappointed in a book. I hear people criticize a book that I've read, and they'll be criticizing the author in how he didn't da 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 or she did. It wasn't the purpose of the book. Every book cannot cover everything. And so I think people don't realize, I've written one book, but it did change my heart about books. Man, I read the preface. I read the acknowledgments. I read it all. But if you skip some of those introductory pages, you will be befuddled and frustrated, and you'll think something is defective or ineffective because you keep expecting it to do something it wasn't designed. Even like with tools, I'm not very mechanical at all. But man, you grab hold of something and try to use it in a way it wasn't designed to be used, you'll think it's terrible. But when someone who knows what they're doing explains to me this tool, and usually it's a narrow range of what it was meant to do, then it's like, wow, marriage has a purpose. And when you get a hold of it, it thrives.
That's great. You know, just the other day, I was trying to use a screwdriver to hammer something and it didn't go too well, right?
Yes.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Brad, we often hear in biblical counseling conversations the distinction between the fruit and the root. Can we apply that language to a marriage that may be struggling?
Absolutely. Because what you root anything in, you know, think about, I love gardening and we love potted plants in the house. Very often the problem is you got to get it out of that soil and into some better soil. And so what you root your marriage in is going to determine the fruit that you bear. And too often we've got Christian couples rooting their marriage in the same soil as our culture. This is to make me blissfully happy. This was supposed to fulfill me. This is my soulmate. This person will never, for the first time, I'll be unconditionally loved. Oh, be careful. Like if you've been married for any length of time, I've been married 38 years now. Oh, there's some great joys, but you get exposed. You encounter conflict at close range in a way you never thought possible before. So if you root it in the wrong soil, expecting the wrong things, you're going to bear some really, really bad fruit.
Why do you think that is, that we are so drawn to our culture's definitions of love and marriage? What is it about Christians that gives ear to that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we are no different than any other human being. And by that, I mean, yes, we're born again. You've got God's spirit in you now. Praise God. You've got direct access to his throne day and night. But your body of flesh, if you understand the book of Romans, it's not completely dead. You do not have to obey it. But oh, the siren calls of our culture, still it appeals to the flesh. So when you say, why do Christians so easily step in this? Because it still sounds right to us. I like to liken it to, you know, if someone had played for 10 years with the Chicago Bulls and they know that coach's voice, he has screamed from the sidelines at them, oh, you can change teams and they can pay you $1 million more and you can be in a game next week against that team. But would you find yourself tempted to respond to that voice?
Yeah.
Because it's what you know. So the voice of our culture resonates with our flesh. And we think that feels right. That sounds right. It still sounds right to us.
Yeah, it often does. So I can see how this conversation of fruit and root is so important for us to be thinking about, especially as we approach this issue of God's purpose for marriage. So in this series on God's purpose for marriage, we're obviously going to get to the purpose for it, God's purpose for it. But first, we need to lay a foundation. Before we ever examine God's purpose for marriage, we have to ask, where did marriage come from? So Brad, the answer to this question I'm about to ask used to be obvious.
Yeah.
Our culture has so obscured the truth that we need to return to the basics. So here it is. Who designed marriage?
Well, it might seem like a no-brainer, but it's time to speak it back into the equation because it gives hope. It revives the whole thing. God. our Creator God. A human committee did not come up with this. God. But we got to get a hold of this. And the book of Genesis is the place to do that. And it's a book of beginnings and origins. That's a great place to go to figure out, where did marriage come from? Where did people come from? And Genesis 2:18 tells us, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Marriage is something God did that he saw the need for, and he gave it to us, and it's good. And what I'm so encouraged about, Jason, is that even non-Christians like Professor Jordan Peterson, a Harvard professor, who would guess? Harvard professor. We got people like him coming back to the book of Genesis for helpful clarification on who we are and how we're designed. His best-selling book, 12 Rules for Life, subtitled An Antidote for Chaos. See, as soon as you step away from God and start trying to figure things out on your own, you get chaos. And that's what we're seeing more and more. His book has sold 5 million copies, and this man is packing out auditoriums where he will lecture for 90 minutes from the book of Genesis. Now, he's quick to say, I'm not a Christian, and he treats it more like fable. He doesn't, you know, I don't care if it was really an Adam and really an Eve, but he sees the principles and the concept as life-changing and saying, we've got to have a basis for who are we. And he points to Genesis, which I'm so... In his book, he refers to the book of Genesis more than 25 times as a starting place for understanding who we are.
Well, proofs that Christians have the best answers.
Right, right.
Well, Brad, we're just getting started on this topic of God's purpose for marriage. So listener, stay tuned as we take a short break.
And we'll be back with more of Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment as we talk about God's purpose for marriage. And speaking of thriving in marriage, let me tell you about a resource that could really be a great benefit to your marriage. The resource I'm talking about is available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It is Drive by Marriage. It's an audio MP3 series, and it's not your typical marriage advice. It's actually a deep dive into applying the gospel to your relationship. 33 lessons where you and your spouse can have meaningful conversations that go beyond surface level issues. And honestly, couples who have gone through this series report to having deeper discussions than they've ever had before. Drive by Marriage. It's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Also, don't forget the study guide. And hey, if you're loving the content you're hearing on the all-new Fortis Institute and you're loving Thrive, you want more, let me tell you about becoming a Fortis Insider. When you sign up at fortisinstitute.org, you're going to get exclusive emails sent to your inbox daily. I mean, imagine having trusted biblical guidance right at your fingertips as you work on strengthening your marriage or raising your kids to love the Lord. That's what it means to be a Fortis Insider. That's what it's all about. Whether you're newlyweds, whether you're seasoned parents, or somewhere in between, the insights you'll gain will help you apply God's truth to your family life. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Sign up to become a Fortis Insider. And hey, listen, let me tell you about Fortis Institute. All of this daily content that we're producing and we're talking about, it's not a subscription-based model. It's free. Absolutely free of charge. We're not asking you to pay a monthly fee. Not at all. And of course, none of this would be possible without the help and support of our gospel partners. The support that you guys have shown us keeps us producing content that's not a subscription model. And if you're not a gospel partner already, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? Now, first of all, in order to do that, we want you to already be giving to your local church, and we don't want you to be strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. But if those areas of your life are okay and taken care of, then please, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the details about what that might look like right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to our discussion with Pastor Brad Bigney about God's purpose for marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
Being so much like your father.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Jason Allen, and Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back to Thrive with Brad Bigney. On today's episode of Thrive, we're beginning a series on God's purpose for marriage. Before the break, Brad shared with us where the idea of marriage came from by showing us from Genesis 2:18 that marriage is God's idea. If marriage is God's idea, if he's the one who designed it, created it, he should be the one that we're looking to and listening to when wanting our marriage to work. So Brad, I don't mean to keep beating the car illustrations into the ground, but I once heard a story about a guy who owned one of the first Fords ever made. And he hadn't owned it all that long at all when he had broken down on the side of the road and he couldn't figure out how to get the thing going again. So the story goes that a gentleman stopped to help him, got out of the car, and in short order had it running again. And the car owner said, "How did you know how to fix that thing?" And the gentleman who stopped, he said, "My name is Henry Ford. I designed it. I made it. I know how it's supposed to work." Brad, that may be a tall tale, but one thing we know isn't made up is that God designed marriage. And because he designed it, he knows how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Brad, you showed us where the Bible says marriage was God's idea and design. Why should that matter to us?
Well, it matters because beginning points matter. Where you start often will determine where you end up. Where you start matters. If you start wrong, you're not likely to end up somewhere well. The illustration that comes to my mind, I watched my dad as a kid. I was little, but my dad finished the basement. And he's an engineer, so he didn't just throw this thing up. He spent a lot of time thinking and pondering. But one thing I noticed, I'm old enough that I'm sure there's a better way to do this now. He had a plumb line with old chalk, purple chalk, and he would snap that thing across the floor before he would start laying block. And it's just shocking. Whenever you see it, you can be a quarter inch off at the beginning, and you may be a foot or more off at the end by the time you get down there. Where you start and how you start matters. And so this thing with marriage, it's the same way. We got to start with God and his purpose, or we'll be way off down at the end. And we are. That's what we see today.
If someone who's listening has had a rocky start, what are some practical ways that they can use to rebuild that foundation that you were just talking about?
Well, very often, you know, human beings love to cling. They love to cling. You can't receive what God has for you until you let go of what you keep clinging to and insisting. So as I counsel, I find that it's not just informing them of the right stuff. I got to get the wrong stuff out of their hearts and hands. And people don't realize how much they're clutching it. Oh, I just thought, and it has to be, and I just need, and you can't give them what God has. And it's scary for us, because very often we're guilty of thinking what we've laid hold of would be better than what God has. And that's a lie. That's been a lie from the very beginning in the garden with Satan. Did God really say God's holding out on you? So we got to lay down some of the stuff we're clinging that we picked up from the culture and open our hands and say, God, give me what you would have. What do you say and what do you want?
Brad, what else can we learn about the designer and creator of marriage from that Genesis account that you referred to earlier?
Oh, one of the most glorious things we see that our world needs to hear today is that both men and women from birth are created in his image. Oh, there's a dignity and a worth that comes with that that our world has lost. We've got people frantically trying to form their own identity and decide who they are. And he never designed us to be able to do that. We're not strong enough. But we've got a culture that says you define you, defend you, promote you. And what we're watching is people are exhausted. And what you end up doing is like a chameleon, you have to redefine and redefine because it didn't satisfy. It didn't hit the mark. And so identity in Christ, that every woman, every man is created in the image of God. Not even after you're born again, but from birth, every human being is created in the image of God. And so that's worth a lot right there in Genesis. We've got two image bearers coming together in this thing called marriage.
Brad, you just mentioned three words: define, defend, and promote. It seems like that is exactly what's wrong with our culture. Our culture is trying to define themselves, defend themselves, promote themselves.
Yeah.
And you said the answer, the antidote to that is identity in Christ.
Yes. And this is not what I love to read history. This is not a new problem. It's so funny how often you'll see nothing new under the sun. In 1563, the Heidelberg University in Germany, they decided to put together my favorite catechism. It's my favorite one, the Heidelberg Catechism. And of 129 questions, what do you think the first question was? It was related to identity and purpose. What is your only comfort in life and death? You know what their answer was? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, when you get a hold of that, it solves so many other problems. Because then you don't come into marriage needing more than you should need from a human being.
So if we know that marriage was part of God's original design and creation before the fall, and that it was very good, how is that hopeful for us?
Well, it's very, very good. But anyone who has done it for any length of time would say it's one of the hardest things. But I hope that doesn't put you off. Almost everything in life that's really, really good and important has an element of really, really hard to it, but it's worth it. But anyone that's built a business, that didn't happen overnight. It cost you, but it was worth it. Marriage is hard on some levels because it takes a dying to self, but oh, it's so worth it. So when you say, how does that matter? Well, it matters when you say it's from God and it's good, that nails it down that whatever I'm called to do in this is worth it. It'll keep you from hitting the exit door too soon and giving up. We got people giving up on marriage way too soon, even Christians, giving up as soon as it gets hard or doesn't match what I thought. So I think it can help us hold on and persevere, believing God designed it, God gave it, it's good. Help me, God.
Yeah, I heard you mention that we often hit the exits too soon. I once heard a pastor say that marriage is not primarily about staying in love. It's about keeping a covenant. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I would say as you stay committed to keeping covenant, guess what happens? Feelings of love follow. I would say you can covenant your way into an amazing marriage that has feelings. Because I know people listening might be thinking, I don't want to just be faithful to a covenant and yet I have no feelings. Oh, trust me, it will not stay that way. But if you choose to live by your feelings and follow your feelings, it will not end well. But when you say, to the glory of God and by the grace of God, I'm committed. I'm committed. Oh my goodness. Feelings begin. You think about it, even we live in a culture where we pick our spouse. You realize in other cultures with arranged marriages, we tend to think, oh, that must be awful. No. Because it did not start off based on feelings, and feelings grow in the context of commitment.
Brad, we opened up with an illustration that had us compare our marriage to a car. And I guess there could be a danger for the man or woman who said their marriage was like that Corvette. If they feel like their marriage is going well, yet they are not acknowledging the one who designed their marriage. So for the person whose marriage is good, how could it be better by acknowledging the God who created it?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is when you think you own it and you did it, you are not likely to keep learning. Oh, listen to me. If you're young and you're not married yet, or you're young in your marriage, it is not like there, I said I do, done. I dated him so that I could know him. Oh, it's an ongoing learning. You keep learning because guess what? Marriage has seasons. Life changes, your circumstances change, your body changes, the number of kids you have changes, jobs change, our world changes. You have to have a learner posture. What you're doing well at now may not sustain you in what you face 5 years from now. So if you think you did it and you own it and you don't need God, it's not going to end well. So you want to keep growing and knowing everything you need to know for each season, because life. So I would say believing it's yours and you're the Corvette and you don't need help is a lack of humility. Without humility, You'll never say, God, show me what I'm not seeing about me and our marriage and what we might need next. Where do we need to grow? Where do we need to grow?
Brad, thank you for today. So many great takeaways from today, but one of the big ones for me is that before we consider the purpose of marriage, we have to consider the one who actually purposed marriage. And the one who purposed marriage is the same God who doesn't just want your marriage and home to survive. He wants it to thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.